Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dominic. It's a Windfall Wednesday edition. Thank you, Uncle Joe Biden.
Hey, Crudy, happy hump day. Evan on the board, our fair audience. Great to be with you all. Happy, happy Wednesday. Way to go, Joe.
Dominic, Joe Biden has forgiven college loan debt for all my leftist elitist friends. For billions of them. Millions of them. Now, we're going to have a DNC rep, friend of ours, DNC rep from the state of Wisconsin, Corey Pennebaker, at the bottom of this hour, 4:30. And a little bit later in the big show, Dom, I want to talk about Rojo. Says people got a severe case of class envy.
Is that what it is?
Rojo, I'm thinking... My ass envy, Rojo.
I mean, when are rich white men going to catch a break in this country? You know what I'm saying, Ron?
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Depending on whose interpretation of this newest from Joe Biden, you know, perhaps it's just to benefit the rich. Or maybe it's a new student loan forgiveness plan. It's just a good start. Doesn't go quite far enough, but a good start, Dom. Let's start the show there. Let's start with President Joe Biden. Let's play the sound of the president forgiving $300 billion from America's, you know, elitist youth that were able to attend college. Play it for the people. President Biden, cut 15, please.
An entire generation is now saddled with unsustainable debt in exchange for an attempt, at least, at a college degree.
An attempt, at least. You attempted a college degree, right, Dom?
Attempted a couple. And certainly lots of folks I know my freshman year in college were not there at the end of the second semester that started in August in the first semester, like a bunch of them. And presumably some of them, you know, they washed out and presumably they had some student debt. Lots of folks do.
Now, do you get deferrals if you wash out of college? If you're a beauty school dropout, do you get a deferral on the beauty school student loans?
You know, actually, when I got out of La Crosse with you, I was able to defer my student loans while I was in grad school. So that was a nice motivating factor for me to get to grad school.
Quick. With accumulating interest?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Now, I paid off my student loans. You know, I'm a good American. It only took me to the age of 40. I set a big goal.
You got your doctorate, huh?
Not exactly. Yeah. I felt like I was in college till almost the age of 40, Dom.
I tell you, Crudy, I've been kind of paying off, at least Steph's, my wife. She just has a little bit more left on her from her grad school student loans. And I could have paid it off maybe, but I was hoping, waiting, keep your fingers crossed, pay the minimums, see what happens with Joe this year. And Joe came through, man.
Well, your wife's not even 30 yet.
Nor am I.
Let's hear more from the president. Nor is Joe Biden, right? No. Debt is preventing a middle-class life. That's the American dream, right, Dom? Cut 16, Joe Biden.
The burden is so heavy that even if you graduate, you may not have access to the middle-class life that the college degree once provided. Many people can't qualify for a mortgage to buy a home because of the debt they continue to carry.
More from President Joe Biden. Cut 17, please.
In the 21st century, in my view, I think the vast majority of Americans 12 years of universal education is not enough, and that we're going to be outcompeted by the rest of the world if we don't take action.
Well, certainly this panel. More from President Joe Biden talking about student loan forgiveness, especially as it affects Black and Hispanic borrowers. Cut 18, please.
The burden is especially heavy on Black and Hispanic borrowers, who on average have less family wealth to pay for it. They don't own their homes to borrow against to be able to pay for college.
Student loan payments, since the pandemic, have been on pause for many, many borrowers, millions of borrowers. But the conditions on the ground, as they say, Dom, they've changed. Those that have graduated, my understanding, with at least a bachelor's degree, the unemployment rate's about 2%. So maybe, time to let the student loans kick back in. More from President Joe Biden. Cut number 19, please.
We've wound down pandemic relief programs like the ones on unemployment insurance and small businesses. It's time we do the same thing for student loans.
So the bill's coming due again, folks. So it's sort of a good news, bad news day, depending on whether, you know, you're getting complete relief from your student loan debt. Let's say you have under $10,000, or let's say you were the recipient of a Pell Grant, which would make you eligible for up to $20,000 of loan forgiveness, as long as my understanding is your personal income under like $125,000 per year.
Per individual, so, correct.
Per individual. That's a lot of people that will benefit from this newest from President Joe Biden. Cut number 20, please.
95% of the borrowers can benefit from these actions. That's 43 million people.
That's a lot of people. Of course, Republicans will say, that's a lot of inflation fuel. Cut 21, please.
Independent experts agree that these actions taken together will provide real benefits for families without meaningful effect on inflation.
That's not the way they're going to tell it on Fox News, Joe. You realize that this will be attacked on every level because that's what Fox News does and that's what the right does. You can't do anything nice for the American people without being attacked from the right. But anyways, Republican tax cuts, let's contrast them. Joe Biden, again, earlier today, cut 22.
Especially not to the same folks who voted for a $2 trillion tax cut that mainly benefited the wealthiest Americans and the biggest corporations, that slowed the economy, didn't do a hell of a lot for economic growth, and wasn't paid for, and racked up this enormous deficit.
Yeah, but they're the job-creating billionaire class, Dom.
They took that money and put it in their pocket. That's why there was no impact on inflation when they took the $2 trillion.
Dominic, here's the other part that people seem to look past. We just came out of a pandemic. It was a tough time for our nation, tough time for a lot of small businesses. PPP loans, right? Paycheck protection loans, something of the sort. And effectively, they were forgivable loans issued to corporations that were meant to retain the employees or, you know, create a more profitable bottom line if you happen to not be greatly affected by the pandemic. And lots of people took them. And lots of people, you know, sort of betrayed the nation. What do they call that? Fraud.
Yes, there's lots of fraud.
But I understand they were trying to rapidly roll out a program of this sort. But consider the reaction of Republicans, the different reaction to get today when it might be student loan borrowers being forgiven by Joe Biden. F. Brandon is basically what they're going to say. How dare he? But of course, these PPP loans that were signed into law, the forgiveness portion by Donald Trump. Well, hell, even the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, was the recipient of that sort of grandiose socialism, Dom, to the tune of almost $250,000. It's a lot more than $10,000. Know what I'm saying? So just remember that.
As long as they're cashing their checks from their president, then it's all good. But if it's the other guy, if it's the other party, and they're not getting the benefit, perhaps, that they think they should as a corporation, I mean, can corporations incur student loans? I mean, can a corporation get a degree?
Well, they are people, my friend, right?
This is what I'm saying.
You know, I appreciate, Tom, that, you know, you and I seem to be on the same page for a change. You're like bowing along. Let's go back to the president, Joe Biden, talking about other affected individuals by the student loan forgiveness proposition. I'm not even sure under what fiat Joe Biden has waived this, you know, debt indebtedness of the American people, millions of people, especially active duty service members. Cut 23, Joe Biden.
Think if a service member defers their student loan payment while they're deployed. The system is so restrictive that their active duty service didn't count as public service. And the loan isn't forgiven as promised. It's outrageous.
Never did get my GI Bill. That was a big reason why I joined the military in the first place. Student loan forgiveness never benefited, Dom. And I served my country mostly honorably.
Mostly, huh?
A little bit more...
Joe Biden. Yeah. Here we go. A 5% monthly income cap. Let's hear 24, please.
No one with an undergraduate loan today or in the future, whether for a community college or a four-year college, will have to pay more than 5% of their discretionary income to repay their loan.
5% of their discretionary income? I thought it was total income, but please continue.
Let's do one more. Student loans. Talking about these schools who have ripped off the students. Cut 25, please, Evan.
Students with a promise of big paychecks when they graduate, only to watch these students be ripped off and left with mountains of debt. And my predecessors looked the other way, for some reason, with good reason, to do anything about this fraud.
Yeah, Trump University didn't have to settle $25 million claim prior to his taking over the White House. Yeah, it's a fraud, and Trump wasn't the only one. He just saw the opportunity like many of those quote-unquote schools did as well.
Come on, Trump University wasn't a college. More of a pyramid scheme. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Looking forward to talking to you. Thinking back to college, Dom, I asked Evan to play this one. Steve Miller Band. You know, look right away. Freshman year in college.
School, man, this is old. This
well,
is like 70s, man. What are you talking about?
I know, old, but, you know, I was exposed and partied to the Steve Miller Band, you know, like for the very first time. My freshman year in college.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
I had a different high school experience than you. Because I graduated. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
I suppose one must forgive the excesses of adolescence.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates. I need a
dollar. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the 420 break. You can call us at 844-967-2789. Karee Pennybaker, he is our friend and a DNC representative. He will join us at the bottom of the hour.
You know, I had the worst freaking weed dealer in college. I think I paid more in weed than tuition bills.
Yeah, but it got fronted to you a lot, so there's value there. Plus all the free stuff just floating around. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah, it's true.
844-967-2789. In life, nothing is free, Dom. I learned this in college living with you. Yeah. Dave from Macwan. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I got a quick question for you. So, sure. Either one of you know how long the United States has been the world's reserve currency?
The U.S. dollar been the U.S. the reserve currency pretty much, I don't know, since the British pound sterling was. How many years ago
about,
was that?
About 80 years. About 80 years.
Okay.
And but the problem is this, and, you know, we're at a point, if we lose that marker, and we will lose that. I mean, there's been other countries that have had.
Hang on a second. Let's go there. Who's going to be the world's reserve currency? China? China. Russia?
China.
China.
China. China.
Yeah. They're already there. If you look at what the Saudis are trading and other stuff, they're slowly getting rid of the U.S. dollar, and they're going to the yuan. They are. I mean, China is slowly, and if you look at what China has been doing, you know, they are becoming the biggest landowners, farm owners in the United States. And they're using our debt to purchase the farmers in the United States. They're literally taking over huge chunks.
Well, yeah, and certainly China does hold lots of U.S. Treasury dollars, and, you know, the rules are what the rules are for purchasing land.
Correct.
I'm telling you, man,
that's
we are a long ways away from China becoming the world's reserve currency, man. I don't see that happening in my lifetime.
Okay.
But I'm serious.
Yes,
so based
it will.
On what?
It will.
Just
it
because
will.
Of the economic growth? I mean, China's got all sorts of issues right now, as the whole entire world does. So if you're going to talk about inflation, that's not something that is just unique to this country.
Well, I agree with that. There's obviously inflation in other countries, but at the end of the day, I guess this is what I would say to you. You know, I'm not sure how this is going to go over, but I mean, why should blue collar workers subsidize college graduates? I mean, the people that decided not to go to college, keep in mind 37% of, you know, have a 4-year degree, 13% roughly have a graduate degree. And 56% of the debt is actually held by the upper graduate people. So give me an example. So like my cousin, who's married, and what Crudy did not mention was $125,000 for a single person, which he didn't tell you it was, But for a married couple, it's up to $250,000.
That'd be two people, right? That's $125,000
each. That's correct.
So it's still $125,000 per person.
Correct.
Okay.
But they can also, but just so you know, they can also, if you look at this a little bit further, you can not only cancel your undergrad degree, you can also cancel the graduate degree. So it's like you get it, it's like double dipping. And so essentially a married couple potentially could get almost $40,000. Because they look at it,
if they each had Pell grants, which is generally reserved for those with lesser means. Yes.
Correct.
Dave, do you have any particular personal resentment if someone else gets a break on their student loan?
Well, when I went to the University of Minnesota a long time ago, I was an apartment manager and I also had a job and I paid my loans back and I worked overtime to make sure that, you know, I was, you know, keeping up with the bills. And I think what this indicates is now that the genie's out of the bottle, you know, why stop at 10 grand? I mean, essentially, I think people in the future are going to be like, well, where's my share? And so we're down this slippery slope. And Robin Voss, you pointed out, I think that's all wrong. I think that people should have been paying back in the PPP loan money. That should have never been wiped away. And that's how we get into this this mindset, and we're going to be in big trouble, all of us, if we don't break that. I mean, that's the end of the day. I never expect anybody to pay for my school debt. I would never expect that. But at the end of the day, that's just
my way. Did you get Pell grants, Dave? Did you get any grants or aids during the course of your schooling?
I did not.
None? Where'd you go to school, man?
So, but let me ask you this, on that level, though, Dave, so other people got grants that you apparently did not get. Should that also not be the case? Should everyone in this country gets
the same circumstance
and effort by, you know, support of their fellow citizens as it pertains to continued education?
Well,
or would you prefer that we as a country, instead of going for 12 years of publicly financed education, we kick on the extra four? This is a different world than it was when you went to school, Dave. Maybe we'll go 16 years. What do you think about that?
I think we have to encourage people to get into, I guess, into the trades, the technical school. I think everyone's pushing this 4-year degree, When in actuality, there's plenty of people that should be going into the trades where you're not going to be saddled with a whole pile of debt.
Well, he's still racking up student loan debts going to technical school, Dave. Would you have a problem with people who went to technical school and didn't incur the great amount of debt, but still having their debt wiped away? Is it the fact that they're getting it?
Yeah, because there's some sense of equality
that's not going right with you?
Well, I think if you borrow money, you should be paying it back. It shouldn't be somebody else's responsibility to do it. Now, if it was
What if it was a savings and loan?
Talking about, let's say it was like Trump University or some other college or whatever, and they're absolutely ripping somebody off. Yes, that should be forgiven. But if you're actually going to a university that's reputable and everything, you're getting the loan, yeah, you should be paying it off. That's what you're doing.
What if I have a communications degree from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse and they stopped offering my major? Should I get a refund, Dave?
I guess that's up to you, Crudy.
I am looking for a refund, UW La Crosse Alumni Association. You know, a little something off. You know, at least stop sending so many solicitations. You act like I made something in my life, and we all know that's not really true. Come back, Caree Pennybaker, and we'll get to more of your phone calls. Just be a little patient. Caree Pennybaker, DNC rep from the great state of Wisconsin.
My money.
No.
The devil's advocates, never personal, only politics.
Devils Advocates Radio Show. It's the hump day edition, right? Wednesday. I think we're up to Wednesday.
It is.
We're awaiting a fine guest. If you're listening, Caree Pennybaker, join us at 844-967-2789. All the patient callers, you're our saviors right now. We're going to the phones. Joe from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, no. Some were just parking. You know, get in line for later, apparently, Dom. Let's try again. 844-967-2789. Kurt from Madison. Kurt, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, guys. Oh, Dave, if you only would have said that in the econ class, I could have had so much fun with it. Dave, you always have to keep in mind it's in reference to what? So you have to talk about timeline, cost of living, cost of classes, distance from the school, cost of food, all these things come into play. And I'll wrap it up with this. They totally changed how loans were crafted to students and universities, how they cranked up the prices on tuition. So answer me this. Why should the wealthiest corporations be able to borrow money from the feds at 1%, if not less, yet students have to borrow at 15, 20%? Answer that question.
I'm not clear that people are taking student loans at 15 or 20%, maybe credit card debt they're incurring. But Kurt, the rest of it, I agree with, man. The cost of an education, a higher education, it has far exceeded the other inflationary pressures on our economy. When Dom and I went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, what was it? $5,000 you could live on? I mean, yeah. Really, you
it was super cheap, man.
$10,000 a year, you could do room and board and tuition
and school. Right. Easy.
And, you know, it costs significantly more than that now. And ultimately, Kurt, some of it, at least here in the University of Wisconsin system, is that the university, the state, is not making the same contribution levels as they once did under Republican governance. And I'm looking at you, Scott Walker. We saw cuts and, you know, take backs from the university system over and over and over again. They were often villainized by Republican leadership. And then his solution was, you know, a tuition cap. You know, first we're going to underfund the university. Then we're going to try to take away what makes Wisconsin great. You know, the pursuit of excellence and knowledge and truth, because Scott Walker didn't believe in any of those freaking things. But anyways, Dominic, my understanding is we should have a fine guest joining us live on the air momentarily, Caree Pennybaker. He is a DNC rep. He's a friend of ours. We've known Caree for a long time. I believe he's joining us right now live via Zoom. So momentarily, when we can hear him, we'll join him. But we appreciate everyone. Be patient. We'll come back to this topic for sure-sies. Joe Biden, the president of the United States, has announced a student loan forgiveness. I know lots of people have opinions. Caree Pennybaker, are you there? Can you hear us now?
Yes, sir, I can.
Hey, man. Welcome back to the big show, Caree. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I'm living the dream. How are you guys?
Well,
awesome, man.
Less than living the dream, but, you know, we're persevering. Right. Caree, let me ask you, as a DNC rep for the great state of Wisconsin, how do you think this student loan forgiveness will sell out there on the campaign trail, sell to Wisconsin voters?
Well, first, the first thing I'll say is that it's unfortunate we're in a position where we are talking about something that's going to help 23 million Americans in the sense of how is it going to sell or how are people going to react to it? I mean, you're going to have millions of people that are going to be able to benefit of a reduction in their expenses that's going to help them immediately. Now, if people want to turn that into a pure campaign type issue, fine, that's on them. I'm concerned about my daughter, who's got student loan debt, right? And that if she's able to get some relief from that, I don't care how they campaign for it. I'm just glad she's able to get it. I'm glad that other families are going to benefit from it as well. And I also think the other side of that is that I think voters are going to respond positively to it. It's something that Biden did campaign on during the election cycle a few years ago. And I'm glad this is, I think, his second or third attempt at this. He's done other ones, so I think this is something that people will respond positively to.
Perhaps it is a case of, you know, promises made, promises kept. But you know how it's going to be characterized, Caree. You know that Republicans are going to say this is an effort for the Democrats to, you know, tip their cap to their elitist college-educated buddies. It doesn't seemingly help Democrats recapture working-class voters. Or how do you see it, sir?
I think it absolutely does. I'm a working class voter. And while I wasn't dissuaded or disinterested in Biden for any other reason, he hasn't lost me because of this. There are going to be working class families who now have a reduction in the amount of money they have to spend on student loan debt. And I think people who are of reasonable nature are going to appreciate that. And who cares what Republicans are going to say? Republicans are saying that Donald Trump won the election in 2020. So the things that they say have very little value and weight. So I think voters here in Wisconsin are going to respond positively because we need it. We need a reduction in the amount of money we're spending on things. And I can assure you that Sydney Pennybaker is not an elitist Democrat, right? She is a 23-year-old girl who's got student loan debt. And there are millions of other people just like her who are not elitist, who are just regular people trying to get by day to day. And I'm glad he did it.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Caree Pennybaker, friend of ours and a DNC representative from the great state of Wisconsin, joining us. Thank you, man. It's been too long. There is a practical pushback, Caree, of, you know, some folks, well, when I was in college, I worked my whole way through and did it myself. And if you take out the loan, you should just have to pay it back. And, you know, perhaps since they're not getting the benefit or not everybody gets an equal benefit, that somehow, some way, this is not proper. On the other side, we've seen the reporting and the numbers show that Latino and African American borrowers, you know, have substantially more debt, and so Joe Biden is trying to, you know, perhaps add this Pell $10,000 per Pell grant to try to help that racial problem, but ultimately, not everyone's going to benefit, Caree, and there's always going to be someone who's going to bitch about it. Should we take those complaints seriously?
No, because you just said it. There are people who will benefit from it. Are there people who won't? Sure. There are people who didn't benefit from Trump's tax cuts. They still did it, though, right? They didn't care about those of us who don't get the same kind of benefits of as a, you know, a super rich person would get. They didn't care about that. And their point was, you know, more people will benefit. In this case, 23 million Americans are going to benefit. So, again, I don't care what Republicans are going to say. They're always going to have something negative to say. They're not going to support it one way or the other. So let's at least focus on those who will benefit and make sure that they get it as quickly as possible so that we can have a reduction in the things that we're spending money on. I mean, we've struggled for months now with high gas prices. We struggle with high prices at the grocery store. This is something that's going to be a direct relief and financial impact for folks, and I think it's a great thing. And again, I could care less what Republicans will say, and they're going to come here to Milwaukee and say some crazy stuff anyway. Who cares? It is our job to make sure that people get out and vote, regardless of what the other side will say, because you know they're going to say something stupid and crazy. They have people talking about how we should kill gay people. So who cares? So what?
Curry, also here in the state of Wisconsin, Governor Evers proposes, what, $600 million in tax relief, a 10% across-the-board tax cut? I mean, it sounds like something Republicans would jump on. Of course, we're getting close to an election here as well, Curry. What do you think the reaction should be from Republicans? And do you think with the wins that we're getting on a national level, look at some of the legislation that Joe Biden has recently signed, his recent proposals here on the student debt, and what's happening here in the state of Wisconsin, what Evers has proposed. I mean, this looks like some good tailwinds for the Democrats. Do you think that the citizenry, that the voters will respond positively?
I think the voters will. I just think the irresponsible Republicans we have in our state legislature won't, because it really is about us versus them to them. They are not interested in helping Wisconsin voters and Wisconsin citizens. They're only interested in getting reelected. So they're going to do whatever they can to create and continue to foster this notion of tribalism so that they can continue to get the votes in ways that only support further gerrymandering. So they don't have an interest at all in doing the right thing. They just want to get reelected. And I think Wisconsin voters are going to realize that and see the disparity in power that exists in our state legislature and begin to at least slowly remove those folks from power and get more responsible people in office who are going to help more of us.
Curry Pennybaker, our fine guest. I don't know if you saw what U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said down the dial on Righty Whitey Talk Radio earlier today. You know, guys like you just have class envy, Curry. You're just one of those 99%ers. What do you make of the senator's assessment of the attacks on his, you know, otherwise crazy statements?
It is a further demonstration of why we need to elect Mandela Barnes in November. I mean, that is the most succinct way I can say it. Ron Johnson is one of the most detached people from reality that you're going to find. He is a uber millionaire who, you know, donated it with $9 or $10 million for his own campaign because he had it. You want to talk about like envy? I mean, he envies power. He doesn't envy helping others. He just wants to keep power and stay there and say more dumb stuff. That is the kind of person who does not deserve access to power that he's got. So we need to make sure that we do everything we can to elect Mandela Barnes this November.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps Rojo could get some sort of lotion or something. But, you know, he was an insurrectionist, but only could last for a couple of seconds, Curry. What do you think about his momentary insurrectionist nature? Talk about Rojo.
Yeah, he made a comment that like they didn't bring it wasn't an armed insurrection. There were guns there. That people used hockey sticks and all kind of objects to beat those officers. And he's trying to sugarcoat things and whitewash it and make it seem like it wasn't as bad as it was, only to make himself look better for having supported it. But that shows you the character the man's got. He is wholly dishonest, and we need to treat him as such. And in doing so, we need to vote him out. And I don't care why people go vote. I just want them to go vote, whether you are voting to vote out Ron Johnson or vote for Mandela Barnes. As long as Mandela Barnes gets elected, there is no asterisk to your vote. I don't care. I mean, people get hung up all the time about the why. I don't care about the why. I care about the result, and the result we need to have in November is that Mandela Barnes is our next senator from Wisconsin.
Curry, while there's still a minute left, let's talk about Tony Evers and the Tim Michaels race. Michael strikes me as sort of another millionaire, billionaire in the making. He's a carpetbagger. He's a bit of an extremist. And if you believe him, he's beaten Tony Evers by 5 to 10 points. People just lied to the pollsters. What do you think, Curry?
I think he said it best. He is a carpetbagger. He is not a Wisconsinite. He may have a company here that employs a lot of people, but he doesn't live here, doesn't pay taxes here, doesn't vote here. He's not immersed in the Wisconsin lifestyle. And he is about as detached from reality, from the regular folks that do live here, as Ron Johnson is. So we need to do everything we can to elect Tony Evers. And I know that Tony isn't a flamethrower. He's not a loud person and getting a bunch of headlines, but he's doing the work, and that's what we need. We need a person who understands Wisconsin life. And Tony Evers does that. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure he's still going to be the governor after November.
Caree, the issue of the unrest in Kenosha, two-year anniversary yesterday. Michaels was down there. Evers pushed back. What do you think as a elective, a campaign issue, about 30 seconds here, what do you think about Kenosha?
I think it's unfortunate what happened 2 years ago, because a byproduct of that was Kyle Rittenhouse. I think that what Tim is trying to do is capitalize on something he had no attachment to in the beginning. He's just trying to pick an issue that he thinks people are going to respond to, but it's disingenuous, and he didn't care then. He doesn't care right now. He doesn't care what happened back then. He doesn't care about the police brutality at all. So it's our job to make sure that people know about that and know how fake that man really is, and make sure we elect Tony Evers in November.
Caree Pennybaker, our friend, DNC rep from the great state of Wisconsin. Can't wait to see you in person. Thanks for coming around, Caree.
Thanks, Caree.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, guys.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Money. We're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to the phones momentarily at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our friend, DNC rep from the great state of Wisconsin, Caree Pennybaker. Always great when Caree comes around. Got to get him out for a beer sometime soon.
Yeah, right?
You know, we like to drink beer with all our friends. Less so with Ron Johnson these days. You know, it's my class envy. Ron drinks the, what it is. Yeah. You know, he drinks like the Heinekens and stuff. I'm down here drinking PBRs. 844-967.
I don't believe it.
No, I don't drink PBR, but some would. I know they serve quite a few at the Coin, right?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Ice cold PBR and a shot. That's how you get the day going.
844 and a call to the Devil's Advocates at 844-967-2789. I think I got the whole number out that time. Let's go back to the phones. Joe from Madison. I hope you're not sleeping on us, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, heck no. No, sorry about that. I don't know what the snafus sometimes emerge. So we move past. I wanted to respond to this issue of a student debt reduction. And I Dave called in the earlier segment, Dave from Mequon, and he had some great things to say. And I was always interested to hear what he has to say. And he had a great line at one point. He said, you know, more and more people are going to be asking, where's my share? And I think that's really a good thing for people to ask. But I would ask it in a larger question, your recent guest spoke to it, in that there's a $1.2 trillion tax cut to the wealthy at the top 1% under Trump. I was saying after hearing that, where's my share on that? You know, over 80% went to the top 1%.
Aren't you a billionaire who owns a designated S Corp like the Widow Hendricks or the U Lions? Because if you are, you got a really sweet tax deal.
Yeah, that one was what, $250 million just in 1 year that these two families acquired. So I think it's fair to say, where's my share? And I just wish it would be broadened out and look at what the Republicans have given money to, and as compared to giving money to this. I would hope that at somewhere along the line that we continue to look at those people who are getting getting education, not from a college degree, but going to tech school or Madison College, places like that. I think those are fine jobs that can result from that, and they cost money, and I hope that there are ways that we can look at ensuring that those folks are able to get the education that they need to get those technical jobs that are, it's a big part of our economy, and I hope that that would be looked at too. But man, I went to school probably a similar time to what Dave went to, where, and I was able to graduate with jobs, working the entire time, but without debt. But I also realize how lucky I am compared to what the kids are going through now. It's much more expensive. It's much harder. So thanks for letting me speak my two cents.
Yeah, Joe, appreciate your contribution. I would say this for the kids today. The marijuana is much, much better than what the guy sold me in college.
You know, hardly any beaners anymore. The kids don't even know what they're going through. They're so spoiled.
Half the weight was stem and seeds.
What's that Mexican brickweed, man? It was the question that people ask, and I think to some degree, that's a frightening part to people like Gary and other Republicans. Like, where's mine? Where's mine? Where's our? You know, we have this government to provide for the general welfare of the citizenry, of the people, and that's not just, you know, internet speeds and roads. I mean, we need to make investments across the board, and you really got to wonder, where is mine? I mean, we saw Ron got his, and Ron gave away, you know, that tax cut. They got theirs. You know, there is a legitimate question. It's not greed, but are we properly allocating the resources of this country in the most righteous way to impact the most people and promote the general welfare of the people? Are we doing that, or are we just getting bitched at by the Republicans because, you know, the Democrats wanted to use those resources in different ways than perhaps the Republicans do? I think it's a legit question. We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We are the people. We definitely have the right to ask, where's mine? And this, if nothing else, is a long due investment in education. And I'm still down. Let's take the next step. Let's go another 4 years. That is very important. We have to compete globally, as all the Republicans love to say. Well, it costs money to do that. I mean, anything after eighth grade, that's not worth it, right? Oh, we're going to do 9th through 12 now. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible. I didn't get paid for after eighth grade. Well, I mean, you know, you can go back and make all sorts of comparisons of what was. But what we need to do is be looking forward, recognizing what is and how we can best capitalize on the investments and the opportunities that this great country affords us.
Dominic, what did Scott Walker famously say? Wisconsin needs welders. Well, here would be my question, you know, for Scott Walker and all the others that would be resentful today of Joe Biden for forgiving student loan debt. Couldn't we do something different? And I realize this is not what Biden proposed, but Bernie probably did. Couldn't we make tech school free?
Right.
I mean, it's modest, the cost of the tuition relative to a four-year college. But whether you're just knocking out the basic studies or whether you're getting a degree in tool and die and learning a trade that you can market and actually get paid fairly for. Well, couldn't we give that advantage? And I get the fact, and Scott Walker, better than anyone, you know, sort of made us resent our neighbors. Oh, the people in the city, they're getting all the money from you country folks. All those teachers, they get their summers off. All they do is teach your kids. Let's resent those people. Real quick, and we will make more time for the callers in hour two, but here's a statement made by Scott Walker last night in anticipation of this announced student loan forgiveness. Driving around Tulsa, apparently. When Tonette and I got married, and that when we had our first son, Matt, doesn't acknowledge the love child he had back in college, but I read on. We lived in the upstairs unit of a duplex. That's what we could afford. In Joe Biden's world, we should have bought a gigantic home and asked the federal government to pay off the loan. For years and years, I drove a Saturn from the 1990s because that's what we could afford. In Joe Biden's world, I should have bought an expensive sports car and asked the federal government to pay off my loan. It's important for people to consider how they will pay it back before they take out a loan for anything in life. As my Nana used to say, don't spend money you don't have. And I will remind you of the history of Scott Walker. When he was a presidential candidate, he was subject to an FEC disclosure, and he disclosed a personal net worth of negative $73,500. He was living beyond his means. Now he bragged, I'm giving back half my salary as the county executive, whatever the case may be. Well, that was good and fine right up until he was what? A presidential candidate. And Scott Walker, early, he thought he was, you know, the next big thing, the great white hope. And he went to Iowa and he was spending other people's money. And he had our American Revolution, or whatever he called himself. 527, you know, candidacy in waiting. But he spent $40 million. And then he spent more than that. And then suddenly panicked in September of 2015 because He's getting his ass handed to him. He's polling 0.0 in Iowa, and he's burning money like an MC Hammer entourage. And Scott Walker quit the campaign, deeply in debt, you know, spending money he basically borrowed. And then sold us all down the river for pennies on the dollar, settled that debt for less than full balance, because that's what scumbags like Scott Walker do. Just find his example.